Can you please read the title for item number 1476?
Authorize a memorandum of understanding to redevelop vacant properties at or near the Gateway Transit Center in order to fulfill economic development objectives for the district.
All right, could we have folks come forward? Bryant? Or, no, not Bryant. Right. So as they're coming forward, feel free to have you say in Dutch. Move on. How do you say that? Please exit the plane quietly. So, Justin, please come forward. And Ad, are you going to be are you at the panel? Okay, we'll have Justin cover it. So the City Council is not voting on this today. The City Council, though, I have it in front of the City Council as another one of these seeking to have a smooth handoff and to also recognize and thank the group of citizens and staff that have been working on this issue for 4 years, 5 years, and to let the council know sort of where we're at in terms of having the next council consider next steps. So the Gateway District has long stood as the entryway, literally the gateway to East Portland. Gateway enjoys unparalleled access and location at the intersection of a transit center with service, the Green Line and also airport light rail, two major freeways, and is a prime location for iconic development. The district has flexible zoning, the potential for great views, and ideal proximity to the Portland International Airport. Years ago, the Gateway Regional Center Urban Renewal Area was implemented to help bring financial resources to the district and to help catalyze the development. A program advisory committee called the Opportunity Gateway Program Advisory Committee, made up of East Portland residents, business interests, and other stakeholders from the Portland community, was formed to advise on issues involving the growth of Gateway. Over time, input from stakeholders helped inform a vision of what Gateway could be. But having done all that work, we are also, and a lot of great effort and a lot of great staff work, we are all underwhelmed in the actual results that has come from that vision. So over the last 5 years, a group of staff and stakeholders have been meeting to look at past efforts, learn from them, and to chart a new series of action steps moving forward that would actually invigorate the realization and achievement of the vision. So the memorandum of understanding today in draft form, as I mentioned, will be considered in the next 2 months of the next council, is focused on establishing the first concentric circle. Publicly owned two-acre site at the Gateway Transit Center offers a unique opportunity to bring a catalytic project to East Portland. The city currently leases nearly 100,000 square feet of privately owned office space in downtown Portland, and over the next 5 years, many of these leases will expire. Many of these leases are at a very robust per square foot cost, I might also add. And this presents the next city council with a unique opportunity to leverage city resources that are currently in lease space downtown into a catalytic project in Gateway. Think the PDC headquarters in Old Town Chinatown that has done so many good things for Old Town Chinatown. Gateway stakeholders, whom you'll hear from today, are eager for this next step. We'll go over the draft MOU deal points that will serve as the basis for discussion with the next city council. And we'll also talk about how this effort moves forward, the Gateway Eco District and the Park Rose and David Douglas School District's effort to have a new significant educational presence around the Gateway Transit Center. So with that, I'll turn to Justin Douglas. Oh, sorry, Bryant Enge. Are you first?
Yes. Okay. Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. How are you? Pursuant to this MOU, the Office of Management and Finance will explore and look at opportunities to co-locate city employees and operations into a single facility. Right now, we have about 100,000 square feet that the city is leasing from private owners in the downtown core in several buildings in the downtown area. And pursuant to city policy and resolutions, the city priority is to first look at a city facility owned or operated by the city in terms of locating city employees and operations. Those leases will be coming due here over the next 5 years. And so as part of this MOU, what the city will be doing is to specifically looking at the advantages and disadvantages of putting those operations and those employees in a facility in the east side of Portland east side.
And when you look when you look at other cities, and I've talked to the mayors around the country, it is more common than not that cities have major facilities in more than just one part of town. We actually are rather unique in the fact that in terms of general service buildings, most of ours are still only on the west side of the river and in the central city. So this is not, it might be out of the box for Portland, but it is certainly more commonplace with other cities. So, Justin?
Good morning, Mayor Adams, members of council. My name is Justin Douglas. I'm a senior project manager at the Portland Development Commission. First and foremost, Mayor Adams, I just wanted to thank you for your leadership in Gateway, not just on this particular initiative, but over the years. Still remember the photo of you by the 205-84 interchange in Portland Monthly right after you took office. So thank you for that. And I will say also on this particular initiative, in the last 18 months or so, we have made great strides in understanding opportunities and challenges at the Gateway Transit Center, which has included really unprecedented outreach to some of the local property owners. So I think we're at a much better place there. PDC is obviously very committed to meeting economic development goals in Gateway and in East Portland and to closing equity gaps, and we think that this opportunity could help us achieve that. I also just wanted to say this particular effort, we've worked very collaboratively with Gateway stakeholders, whom you'll hear from today, and I just wanted to say how impressed I've been with all of the years that they've put into working in Gateway using their volunteer time. So I think what you'll hear from them today is how this initiative has really helped meet some of their goals, too. So thank you for the opportunity to be here.
So in the last 6 months, the efforts culminated in we put together a request for interest, which we've also done on other projects, looking for potential tenants, investors, good ideas. And from that RFI came the potential partners in the MOU. There are also partners, potential investors out there that are looking at the next steps that the city and PDC might take regarding the development, more robust development around the Gateway Transit Center. So I think we are poised for a potential new date. And I'd like to invite up Frida Christopher from the David Douglas School District, Laura Wintergreen, Park Grove School District, on behalf of Superintendent Karen Gray, and Colleen Gifford, Gateway Eco District. And then we'll have just, is Bob here? Where's that? Come on up, Bob. And then we'll close out with Jessica Peters.
I wasn't planning to lead off. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I thank you for having us here today. Superintendent Grodding sends his regrets. He is doing his civic duty, and he is in a jury trial right now, so he is unable to make it. My name is Frida Christopher, and I've been a member of the David Douglas School Board for 21 years. I've also been on the Gateway URAC since its inception, as well as being on East Portland Action Plan since it became a plan. So I've been in the area quite some time. And one of my unique things with this committee is I've also been on the Gateway Education Center subcommittee since it was a concept idea that the Gateway URAC had. We're very lucky in East Portland. We have some of the finest school districts, not only in the state, but they're also recognized nationally. We also have some of the strongest support for education in that area. As David Douglas, a K-12 district, both prior and during this time of tight resources, we've been working collaboratively with our other public entities and nonprofits to provide the best services we can to our students. David Douglas really appreciates this opportunity to be an active member in this project, going from a concept idea to a reality in Gateway. I see several opportunities. First, self-interest for David Douglas. There's a potential for some additional facilities. For those that do not know our district, we are quite small, 12 square miles, and have very little available land for schools. And so we've been trying to think outside the box on how we can provide more space in the David Douglas area. I've also been, to me, there's such great synergy that we can do with our neighboring school district and other educational institutions in to provide opportunity for our students, especially our high schoolers with workforce development. One of the strongest concepts in this with this Gateway Education Center plan was a 2+2+2 opportunity where our high schoolers would have 2 years at the high school. They could do 2 years with schooling through Mount Hood and potentially with PSU. We've talked about this idea, and the stakeholders are very supportive of it. But also, this concept fits right into the city's initiative for Cradle to Career, as well as the governor's educational model of 40-40-20. Douglas is now partnering with the Children's Institute to complete a model for early childhood education in our Earl Boyles facility, which to me is the beginning of the Cradle to Career that we'll be working on. This opportunity at the Gateway Educational Center would be a great partnership in building opportunities to support the career portion of the city's and the governor's initiatives. I believe this is an opportunity to collaborate and build partnerships with public, nonprofit, and private entities that will make East Portland a better place to live. In closing, the David Douglas School Board, the administration, and our community are very excited that this project may be moving forward. We ask for your support of the resolution to assist the residents of East Portland in making this a reality and enabling Gateway to become the true regional center as it was designated to be. Thank you.
So if I could just sort of amplify in 2 points, this council sought to establish a satellite urban renewal, or earlier council. Sometime during my tenure up on here, we sought to establish a satellite urban renewal area that would encompass land that you had purchased for the construction of a new elementary school. State law and court rulings have eventually rendered it impossible to do that. But one of the options, just for council, a little detail, is one of the options is the potential surplusing of that land, and that those resources could be used at the Gateway Transit Center in a multi sort of institutional public service building. And the idea that you would take your administration out of your current school buildings that are in current school campus, potentially putting them into a new public service building at Gateway, that would actually free up classroom space on campus and at least getting some progress towards the goal of alleviating your overcrowding. And then the other aspect of this is to seek to try to get Mount Hood Community College, PSU, or another higher ed institution to provide that middle college opportunities for Park Rose, David Douglas Reynolds, Centennial, Gresham Barlow. And do you want to talk about Karen Gray, who has offered to work with everybody to help lead that effort? And PDC has done a great job of sort of identifying within the city or within the Pacific Northwest, what we've long wanted for is sort of middle college to community college courses around healthcare, which is a very fast-growing field.
I'm Laura Wintergreen, advocate with the East Portland Action Plan. I'm here to represent Park Rose School District Superintendent Karen Gray, who's out of town, and she strongly wants to support the resolution. Superintendent Gray has been involved in the development of a Gateway Education Economic Development Center, and she's one of the leaders in interjecting Economic Development Center with the education component. She's been involved for 5 years. She's been a strong voice for the necessity of a workforce development focus. She's been tenacious in her commitment to this project as Park Grove School District Superintendent, City of Portland Planning and Sustainability Commissioner, and East Portland Action Plan member. Together in partnership with other East Portland representatives, Park Grove School District knows that collaboration is the key to building this opportunity. The resolution states Park Grove School District is interested in creating a meaningful connection between K through 12 programs and the medical education and training community. Park Grove School District currently has a dedicated medical career related training program. As a local and national leading and growing industry, the medical industry can provide wage and employment that will position the very diverse East Portland students to remain in our community as thriving residents. The dedication to the meaningful and practical extended education of students demonstrates the foresight of Superintendent Fisher Gray and the collaborative group that sees this project as a means to commit to developing Gateway in a way that supports the existing community and prevents displacement. Superintendent Gray encourages you to support this resolution and thanks Mayor Adams for his creative leadership and his staff, as well as Portland Development Commission staff, in their dedication to this project.
Thank you. Obviously, this is one of the city's eco districts, and so we have Colleen Gifford, who is the leader of that effort.
Good morning, Commissioners, Ms. Mayor. The growing Gateway Eco District is excited to see the possibilities of development in our district. I'm not only the chair of the Eco District, but I'm a 26-year resident. I am a business owner. I'm on the board of the Gateway Area Business Association, and we just are really excited to see something happen as we've talked about this regional center for years. We are very excited to see the education component be brought forth through this and excited to see city bureaus have an opportunity to come to our district. We look forward to being a part of the beginning stages of development as an eco district to help look at the items of sustainability that could be built into that development area. We believe that bringing this opportunity to our district will not only bring in many employees, but then foster additional development for all of those employees who need to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and hopefully stay around for a little evening entertainment. So we would like you to support this, and we look forward to working with everyone involved in the process.
I just want to thank you for your leadership. I mean, part of what has also come out of this is that the owners of the Gateway Shopping District have seen what we have facilitated on at Jansen Beach, with new roads that reconnect and provide sort of a better flow of transportation. Here the opportunity is to do the same, and they've shown interest in that. And if that happens, it's a lot easier, for example, to put in an eco district when the roads are being dug up than afterwards. So really appreciate your leadership on this effort. You've been a tireless advocate. Bob is co-chair of the Gateway Program Advisory Committee. Welcome.
Thank you.
What do you do? Yeah, press that down.
Okay. Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for inviting us this morning. My name is Bob Ernest. I'm the co-chair of the Gateway Regional Center Program Advisory Committee. I have been in that capacity for many years, and I've been an area resident for 16 years. I'm also one of the founding members of the East Portland Action Plan, and have been a fairly involved member of that. When all of this came to started rolling out with the Gateway Education Center, this is sort of like the dream of what we had talked about more than 15 years ago. Part of the Region 2040 growth concept, Gateway was designated as a regional center And then we were approved as a urban renewal plan in June of 2001. So we're halfway through our project life. Unfortunately, we have little to show for that. This great opportunity that's being presented to you today is going to be sort of the realization of what we talked about. We wanted to have some buildings that would be identifiable from the different avenues as you approach Gateway, in particular the I-84 connection and the I-205 connection. And this building was phase one of a bigger concept to bring all those pieces together and truly have a regional center. And it's and I keep telling people, in my lifetime, this will happen. Guess what? It's happening. So this is really, really a positive move, and I personally appreciate the mayor's attention to this, and thank him very much.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. And now we have legislator-elect, or legislator. I can't remember. Did you get sworn in yet? Elect. Legislator-elect, Jessica Vega-Peterson. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Is this on? Yes, good. Hi, good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you so much for having us here today. So I'm here in my role as a resident of East Portland, as a member of the Hazelwood Neighborhood Association Board, and also as the representative-elect for House District 47 in East Portland. First of all, I want to thank Mayor Adams for your work and your leadership on this project. There have been a lot of people working on this for several years, but I don't think we would have been at this point if you hadn't driven it forward. So thank you so much for that. So as you all know, East Portland is a part of town that has been neglected in the past, and it has many current needs. We have a large growing population of minorities, of immigrants. We have a lot of young families in the areas, and we also have residents who have been there for several years. I look at the Gateway Education and Economic Development Center project as a way to jumpstart further growth and investment in this area. I'm in the unique position of having talked to hundreds of my neighbors in the last year, and there's still a great sense that East Portland has been neglected by the city, by the state, and it's an area that needs a lot of help. People are sick of seeing businesses close down. We've, you know, in the past several years, we've lost big box businesses, grocery stores, as well as small local shops. And we want to see our East Portland neighborhoods flourish. We want them to be safe neighborhoods. I'm the mom of two young children, and I'm concerned. I've had to call, you know, 911 in the middle of the night because of gunshots, and this is something that unfortunately has to happen regularly in East Portland. So we have a group of people who are working very hard to make our communities safe, to have good economic and educational investments, and this is a big piece of doing that. The Gateway Education Economic Development Center is a piece of the East Portland Action Plan. It is a priority in the action plan, and EPAP knows that it's an investment in the city. East Portland as an issue has been studied, has been talked about, has been discussed dozens of times in the past 25 years. Almost every month I hear about a new time that it's been studied. And I think the time for study has passed, and now is the time for action. And this is a way that we can do that. Looking at things from the statewide perspective, we have very ambitious goals as far as educating, increasing high school graduation rates and increasing the number of people who are college graduates. And this is a great opportunity to bring that into fruition. So I'm here to ask for your support of this project. And I look forward to working with each of you in the future on this project and also future projects that can be catalysts for East Portland. So thank you.
Thank you all very much. Thank you, Representative. Anyone else signed up?
No one else signed up.
So, Brian, where's Brian? Did he have to leave? So I just wanted a last note on this is currently some of the cost per square footage from some of our leased rates, ADA, is upwards of $30, $32 a square foot. So we've had a lot of discussion with the living building and the cost of living building compared to what we have right now. The opportunity to make an investment in Gateway and to co-locate a lot of the vision, elements of the vision that you've heard about today is a very real opportunity. At a price that potentially we would pay less per square foot than we would continuing to re-up those leases. So benefiting East Portland in a way There isn't a significant tax increment in this tax increment district. A lot of the tax increment went for good public infrastructure and public buildings. But from our RFI and the response to it, we might see some new private-only investment pop in the next 30 days, and in part because of sort of our focus on the transit center. So I want to thank the City Council for listening to this presentation. For many of them, it's the first time they've heard it, and I know that they will follow up on into the new year. And I know the City Council knows that this group of people isn't going to stop. So with that, it gets referred back to the mayor's office for further work on next year. All right. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. All right. That gets us to, can you please read all the, right. Sorry. Can you please read resolution item number 1497? And you're part of this one, Commissioner Salt.
Direct the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Office of Management and Finance in consultation with and under the direction of the City Attorney's Office to develop a strategy to satisfy potential natural resources damages claims related to Superfund.
I really enjoyed working with Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fritz on preparing the city to enter the next phase of Superfund in-water cleanup and Superfund-related required mitigation through the dual track that is the federal Superfund process. The city has been a leader in asking for documentation and asking for others to participate. And so what the resolution has sets out in front of us is a timeline and a work plan for the next city council to figure out where we will propose mitigation on the environmental mitigation side and how we would pay for that. And then also CERCLA, which is the in-water cleanup, which happens on a longer time frame, how that also would be paid for. That's on a longer timeline. Commissioner Fritz, would you like to say anything by introduction?
I also have appreciated working with you on this, Mayor, and with our staff in various different offices. And so I'm pleased that we're bringing forward this resolution at this time to, as you say, summarize some of what we've done and set forward the way forward.
Director Marriott.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, member of the council, Dean Marriott, Environmental Services. I'm pleased to support this resolution. I know Jack Graham and I talked this morning, and he was planning to be here on behalf of OMF. As the mayor pointed out, the Superfund involves a couple of things. One is the dealing with the contaminated sediments that we've been looking forward to getting at that here for the last decade or more. The second is one that people don't tend to focus on as much, the public doesn't tend to focus on as much, but I know we have been focusing on it, and that is the dealing with the natural resource damages associated with the Superfund issues. This is one where the city has really taken a leadership role and been out front on. We've done a lot of work to clean up the Willamette. As most of you know, the river's in better shape than it has been probably in the last 100 years. This is something that we would like to pursue on a more aggressive schedule than perhaps others are willing to do, and it sets up the city very in a positive way to be well positioned for the future. Whatever additional investments we make, we will get credit for in the process. So it's a good news story. And we're well positioned, I think, to deal with these issues in the future. So happy to be here to support the resolution.
All right. Discussion with Director Marriott on this issue from Council. Anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
All right. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fritz?
This seems like a small item, but in fact it represents a huge amount of work on behalf by Dean Marriott and his expert staff in the Bureau of Environmental Services, my staff in the Office of Healthy Working Rivers, Jana Papathimiou in the Mayor's Office, Dan Saltzman and Matt Grum, and Rich Goward, Betsy Ames, Terry Thatcher, and Patty Howard in my staff, as well as Tom Bazell, my chief of staff. A lot of coordination having been done and needing to be done, and this resolution sets forward how we're going to get things done moving forward, and I appreciate all the good work. Mayor, thank you for your leadership on Superfund. This is another significant achievement of your administration. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, good work. Good work. I appreciate Mayor Adams' leadership and Commissioner Fritz's and the Bureau of Environmental Services. This is a very important first step towards restoring some of the natural functions of the Willamette River as part of our larger obligations to our Superfund responsibilities. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I'm very optimistic about the tough this city council successfully navigating the tough path ahead on Superfund because the commissioners that sit to my left and right are well-versed, I would say very well-versed. They could teach graduate-level classes on this issue. This is a mechanism that the three of us has put together to have thoughtful and planful decision-making on the issues that we discussed. I want to thank the really smart staff that sort of, in addition to the leadership of Dean Merritt and Beyer on the bureau manager level, and Susan Anderson and her team in the planning sustainability. But we've got a great office, our own personal staff on this issue. We've got Matt Grum, who also could teach more than a few seminars on this. We have Patty Howard, who I think has actually taught seminars on this issue. And then we have Jonna Papamethu on my staff, who will be continuing on as a city staffer in the Bureau of Emergency Management, which is great. We'll be working on a lot of issues, including the need for adaptation in the face of climate change. But you all have just done a fantastic job on this. So keep going onward. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the next council item?
Did you want all four of those read?
Please.
Okay. 1498. Amend items related to the administration of the Arts, Education, and Access Income Tax. 1499, amend contract with the Regional Arts and Culture Council to administer public art matters for the city. 1500, authorize intergovernmental agreements with the Portland Public Schools and the Centennial, David Douglas, Park Rose, Reynolds, and Riverdale School Districts for use of Arts, Education, and Access Fund revenues. And 1501, appoint members to the Arts, Education, and Access Fund Citizen Oversight Committee.
If I could have Carrie Clark and Tommy Douglas Anderson and Jessica Jarrett come up, speak to this issue. So what are we looking at here, Mr. Clark?
Good morning, Commissioners, Mayor. I think, or I'm fearful that you've become accustomed to something more colorful when arts present with choirs and that kind of thing, but you're just stuck with us today, but we'll try to keep it brief. It's my pleasure to report to you this morning on the set of ordinances before you that continue the timely implementation of Measure 26-146, which was referred to the ballot by this council in June and then approved by Portland voters in the November 6th, 2012 general election. This created the Arts, Education, and Access Income Tax and Fund, and a dedicated source of funding to provide arts and music in our schools and communities. Since passage of the measure, we've been working closely with city bureaus, the six Portland school districts, the Regional Arts and Culture Council, and community partners to implement the Arts Education and Access Income Tax and Fund as directed by voters. These ordinances before you formalize and clarify agreements and partnerships that were laid out in the measure, and we believe that they'll help guarantee results, accountability, and oversight around the new Arts Education and Access Fund in order to benefit students and the city as a whole. So there's four items, and they include, one, a number of code changes that will allow the Revenue Bureau to provide security and accountability around tax filer information. Two, intergovernmental agreements with the six school districts identified in code as receiving monies from the Arts Education and Access Fund. 3, an amendment to the city's ongoing contract with RAC, reflecting changes required by the passage of Measure 26-146. And 4, a report appointing a talented and diverse group of Portland residents to the Arts Education and Access Fund Citizen Oversight Committee, which is one of several accountability and oversight measures detailed in city code. So we'll just give you a quick overview of all 4. The first is the code changes for the Revenue Bureau. As the Revenue Bureau moves forward in setting up the databases, websites, and other infrastructure needed to collect and administer the fund, there are a number of changes to city code that are needed to ensure security, accuracy, and accountability. So the ordinance does 4 things. It corrects an error in the definition of resident for the purposes of the tax. It expands the number of citizens allowed on the Arts Education and Access Fund Citizen Oversight Committee to allow a greater degree of public involvement. More on that later. And it establishes penalties for willfully frivolous tax filer returns and makes explicit the confidentiality of tax filer information so that Portlanders can feel confident in their security. Together, these measures will allow greater oversight and accountability so that the fund is administered efficiently and securely. The second item is a set of school district IGAs. The majority of the Arts Education and Access Fund will go to school districts to pay for arts and music teachers in elementary schools. By this point, I think you're probably familiar with the numbers on the sad state of arts education in Portland, but suffice it to say that this fund will make a great deal of improvement on this front possible and ensure that all Portland K-5 public school students have arts and or music teachers in education. The plan for the fund was created in collaboration with the 6 school districts, Centennial, David Douglas, Parkrose, Portland Public, Reynolds, and Riverdale, and we've continued to work closely since passage of the measure on implementation with them. All 6 districts have approved the IGAs as filed for your approval here today and are ready to move forward. The IGAs generally reflect what was filed with the referral of the measure and add a greater degree of specificity around the exchange of student population and teacher cost data for the Revenue Bureau to calculate funding, as well as audited financials to ensure all monies go to voter-approved uses. Additionally, the IGAs lay out the partnership between school districts and RAC that will help deliver a coordinated arts education that utilizes community, nonprofit, and school resources. The third item before you is an amendment to the city's existing contract with the Regional Arts and Culture Council. City code approved by voters in the measures directs that any fund revenues that remain after paying for arts and music teachers will go to the Regional Arts and Culture Council to provide grants and programs for nonprofit organizations and schools. The item before you implements Measure 26-146 by amending the city's existing contract with RAC as called for in code. It does a few things. It creates criteria for grants from the fund that include increased public access, fiscal competence, artistic excellence, and service to the community. Second, it identifies an additional subset of funds for grants directed specifically towards education and underserved communities. Third, it requires RAC to provide audited financials tracking these funds and to report with qualitative and quantitative measures on how the goals of the fund are being met. And additionally, it sets a framework for RAC's coordination with school districts to provide a full arts and music education and support planning efforts with school districts. And now I'd like to hand the mic over to my colleague, Tommy Douglas Anderson, who will tell you a bit about the fourth item, which appoints, I think, what you will find to be a very impressive cohort of Portlanders to the Citizen Oversight Committee, which is one of several accountability and oversight measures called for in the code.
Yes, our priority in selecting committee members was ensure.
Have to repeat your name for the record.
I'm sorry, Tommy Douglas Anderson. Thank you. Our real priority in selecting committee members to serve on the Arts Education Access Fund Citizen Oversight Committee was ensuring that the committee absolutely reflected the diverse cultures, communities, neighborhoods, and backgrounds of Portland. The fund serves the entire city, and as the committee's primary role is to review and advise City Council on the public investment in restoring arts education in Portland, it's our responsibility to ensure that everyone has access to the cultural riches of Portland and that the committee reflects the broad diversity of Portlanders. There were a couple requirements of the committee, just to cover those briefly, and all this information is also in your packets as well. The committee will meet twice annually. It's comprised of 10 to 20 members, a number which we bumped up to ensure that the broadest amount of participation could happen on the committee. The committee reports to you all, to City Council, and they serve staggered terms of 2 to 3 years, ensuring that there's not a massive turnover in one session. Their primary role is to review and advise on the public's investment in arts education through the Arts Education and Access Fund. We received dozens and dozens of qualified applications. It was really stunning to see the amount of Portlanders that were interested in serving on this committee, and that's one reason that we increased the size of the group. Our committee members come from all neighborhoods around Portland with a special focus on including folks from neighborhoods that have been traditionally underrepresented, specifically in East Portland. Members come from the business, academic, arts, and social engagement sectors and represent the full breadth of cultures and ethnicity of cities of the citizens who overwhelmingly approved Measure 26-146. In light of time constraints, I won't list everyone's name, but there are several folks that are here today with us in council that I'd like to acknowledge, and I'm going to ask you all to wave your hands as I call your name. Yulia Arakelian, who is a dancer and disability advocate in our community. Gwen Sullivan, president of the Portland Association of Teachers. Thank you for being here, Gwen. Alyssa Macy, a development specialist at the Native Arts and Cultures Foundation and tribal community activist and the former transportation communications director and tribal liaison for the state of Wisconsin. Go Wisconsin. Mark Wobold, who's here, a senior policy analyst at PSU and a former university theater instructor and arts integration specialist. Stan Pankin, who is the co-chair of the committee with Anita Yap, who is not here today. Stan was involved with the Portland Plan Community Involvement Committee, is a Pearl District Neighborhood Association board member, and the co-chair of ARTPAC. Jim Cox, a former arts administrator and former manager of the Oregon Cultural Trust, is here with us and on the committee, who is now with Western Rivers Conservancy. And Victoria Dinu, a Portland State University student, violinist, and former Rose Festival queen. So you can see the broad range of Portland citizens are represented in the committee. The entire list is in your binders. I'm really excited that these people have come forward to serve on this committee and do this important work. And I feel really confident about our effort to ensure that the committee represents all the best intentions of the Arts Education Access Fund. And thank you so much for your leadership on this issue.
Thank you, Tommy, and thanks to all the members-to-be of the Citizen Oversight Committee. Also, as this is my last time before council in my my capacity as Arts and Culture Policy Director for Mayor Adams, I want to acknowledge, of course, all of you, but also some people that don't get as much acknowledgement, which is the great staff that all the commissioners here have working on arts issues as your liaisons in your office. They've been a pleasure to work with, so I just wanted to give a hat tip to them and thank you for having great staff as well. So together, these ordinances and the report before you, we believe, will ensure timely results, accountability, and oversight as Portland moves forward in its implementation of Measure 26-146 as approved by voters. So thank you once again for your attention and for your support of arts education and access in Portland.
So were you going to say anything, Jessica?
I was going to introduce her after the council discussion and thank her.
Well, I just have... one thing I want to make sure, and I know it's somewhere in all these documents, but I want to make sure just for the legislative history that the Arts Education Access Committee, did I get that right?
Oversight Committee.
Oversight Committee. Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of words.
Will do an annual report to the City Council.
That's correct. They it is in the report that they report annually to City Council.
Mm-hmm. And like in a venue like this as opposed to just a written report. I mean, so that the co-chairs or whoever actually appear and present an update.
That was the intent for sure. I don't know if it says specifically in person at council, but for the record, that is the intent, yeah.
Okay. And then the things I'll be specifically looking for in that report are, you know, certainly verification of, you know, administrative expense caps being met by both RAC and the fund itself.
Absolutely.
But also the independent audits. And perhaps most important to me is I want to know what is happening with the access fund. What is actually a list of everything that has increased the access of our citizens to
absolutely
the
can
so
I
we don't have to belabor the point.
He can go on for hours on this.
Yeah, you really can.
So I just want to make sure those at a minimum are the things that we get at least an annual report on.
It's good
in person.
No, that's good. So I had a couple of questions too.
Sure.
So who staffs this committee?
I think that, I can say that we've been in touch with the mayor-elect's office about this committee. They're aware of the appointees, and they're aware of this as one of the items that is moving into implementation as...
It's whoever's appointed arts liaison from the council. Does RAC have a relationship with this committee, or does it come out of the mayor's office?
Yeah. RAC has to report to this committee, so you don't want RAC to staff it. The other group that will provide staffing support in addition to the Arts and Culture Liaison from the City Council is also the Bureau of Revenue.
You know, it's an all-star list you're bringing before us. Maybe it's to conserve trees. We don't have a lot in the record about, you know, resumes and bios. So can we get those electronically?
I have documents here if you'd like a copy, and I can introduce them to the record electronically
as well. I'd be happy to get it electronically. I
sure
have a lot of paper.
Absolutely.
The other thing is... you said that it's been expanded. I guess I didn't pick up on that. What was in the referral, and how have we changed
the referral? Identified the committee as consisting of 5 to 10 members, And as we put the call out for applications, the response was very large, and we took very seriously the responsibility to reflect the full diversity of the community, which was one of the requirements in code. And we felt that that was just not possible with 5 to 10. So the among the code changes identified in the Revenue Bureau document, it changes code to make it 10 to 20 community members.
I see. And could you also just describe a little bit the process of selecting the committee and who was involved in the review process?
Sure. We put a call out publicly, and it was picked up in a number of places. I'd say we received about 41 applications, and we did additional outreach when we felt that the applicant pool did not sufficiently represent all corners of the community. We then consulted with many of the partners that will be part of the implementation of the measure, school districts, the Creative Advocacy Network, and then with our office. Additionally, we were in touch with your offices and your arts liaisons before making the final selections.
I guess finally, I don't know what the history is on all the oversight bodies we have, but will this body have a set of bylaws that governs their conduct and their deliberations?
My understanding of how this has worked historically, we looked at the oversight committee for a number of previous measures, both at the city and at the county and metro. And for example, the zoo oversight committee, their rules were sort of spelled out at the same level of depth that they are in this report. And then once the committee met, they put together bylaws that directed their work further with approval from the member of that commission that oversees them.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other council discussion? Well, a lot of people worked really hard on their own time on this measure, including Tom Anderson Douglas and Carrie Clark, including Eloise and others. But the person who led this effort for active effort for how many years?
Three
years is Jessica Jarrett. And I just wanted the city council to know what a great job she did, what a difficult job she had, and to let you know, Jessica, how much we appreciate your leadership and your great work on this. The CAN is has both a nonprofit aspect to it in addition to a campaign committee. And one of the great things that Jessica insisted upon is that as we go through the implementation, that she will stay on the nonprofit for a number of months so that all the legislative intent that is in discussions that have gone on are reflected in the documents in front of us and the mailings and collection of the resources. So I just wanted to thank you for your great work.
Thank you so much, and thank you to the entire City Council for your tremendous leadership on this. What we've accomplished in Portland is a national phenomenon. This partnership of community-based arts organizations and schools to increase academic achievement and city livability—it's really exciting. And your role in creating CAN and in giving us the seed funding and the leadership and referring us to the ballot, and in cultivating an incredible organization in RAC for the last 20 years has been very, very significant in letting this happen. And I am so thankful. We are all so thankful. So you will be seeing the Creative Advocacy Network around through June 2013 to make sure that any question you have could be answered, to make sure that there's a clear set of baseline measurements for what we are currently achieving in arts in the city and the schools, so that when this oversight committee comes back and reports to you year after year, we can measure against where we were before this tax passed and see the incredible impact that we're making for years to come. So thank you so much.
Thank you all very much. Has anyone signed up to testify on these matters?
No one else signed up.
Okay. Then these are emergency agenda items, so we'll just start, if you would, Carla, start calling the votes.
1498, Leonard.
So this is one of Sam's, I mean, if not most important achievements in my view, certainly a signature achievement. And I remember the day he called and said he wanted to talk to me about this idea of having a tax.
Usually when people run.
And, well, he caught me at home, and I said, well, I'm sanding my deck to get ready to stain it.
Yes, you were.
And he said, do you mind if I bring some folks out? And so they came out, and I dusted myself off, and we gathered around my dining room table to listen to this idea, which I thought was a very exciting idea. I will never forget that day, not because of what a great idea this was, not to detract from it, but Sam excused himself, asked where the restroom was. I said, it's right in the hall.
Oh, boy, really? You're going to go there?
And after about 10 minutes, I thought, what in the world is he doing?
And I forgot to take my phone into the restroom.
And all of a sudden, I hear a knock on the restroom door.
Actually, I'd been knocking for a long time.
And I walked over, and I said, are you okay? And he said, I'm locked in here. I can't get out. It was a funny little, one of those little sliding doors, one of those funny things that it had been giving me problems. So I had to get my toolkit out and disassemble the door to get him out. And fortunately, somebody had the presence of mind to document all of that with pictures. So I have pictures of Sam coming out very red-faced.
Randy, we're running out of time. If you could just get to the thanks for your kind remarks on behalf of the mayor.
But unflustered, he came out and argued why he thought this was a good idea. I wholeheartedly agreed and was very happy to support it and very pleased to see the voters agree. And so with that auspicious past, I'm very pleased to be at the place to vote aye on this here.
Fritz.
This is the culmination of a 3-year campaign that was open, transparent, accountable, and resulted in a clear mandate from voters that yes, arts education is important, inclusivity in arts availability is important, and that Portlanders are willing to fund it. So thank you to the mayor for your leadership on this and to each of you for the part that you played in getting this done. Aye.
Fish.
Well, people know that I'm very passionate about the arts, and it is a particular point of pride, picking up on what Randy said, that I've had a chance to serve on a council that was as pro-arts as this council has been over the last 4 years. And we keep coming back to, I think, the central feature, which is the leadership that the mayor has provided, because good intentions are not enough, and the record of what we've accomplished in the last 4 years is truly remarkable. And, you know, it really matters. I mean, I have a son in third grade, and we're fine with taking him to the after-school art program we take him to, and we're fine for writing the check. But most families can't do that, and I would prefer not to do that. I would prefer that this is part of his curriculum. And, you know, we're all old enough to remember when art and music and these kinds of things were part of the curriculum. They weren't considered after-school add-ons. So I think this is really important, and I'm honored to live in a city that celebrates arts and heritage and culture like we do here, and I think it's part of what makes this a special place. I want to follow up on what the mayor said and thank Jessica for her tenacity, because this the only thing I can compare this to is like an affordable housing development where you hit the wall so many times and then you have to keep finding a new path, and you did, and this was a campaign that was given as much chance as Randy Leonard's public safety bond measure. And, you know, I thank the voters for seeing through some of the fog and getting to the heart of what was offered to them. I want to thank publicly Eloise, who's done such a tremendous job at RAC. And most of what she does is unsung, which is why she's effective, but I think she's been a great partner. And I want to thank Stan and Anita for stepping up, and particularly for Stan, because he was one of the inspirations for the Art Pack that really put the arts in as a critical benchmark when it came time to voting. And one measure of how successful the Art Pack is that people now put it in their voters' pamphlet statement, knowing that that's an important credential and an important marker of their values. So thank you for that. And looking ahead, I pledge to support the new mayor elect, who I think has a strong commitment to the arts. And I think this council needs to and will continue the momentum that Sam has brought. But today we celebrate the accomplishment before us. And again, to the mayor, And to Jessica and the whole team, congratulations and thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I certainly want to thank Mayor Adams for his leadership on this. Jessica Jarrett Miller for working at this so long and actually helping working with many to gel this proposal. A very innovative approach to funding so necessary additional teachers for arts and music, and then also increasing supporting our arts organizations, but in return increasing public access to them. And Carrie, for your great work, and Eloise. I just want to, you know, in addition to my statement earlier about the necessity of an annual report in person to council on several criteria, I just want to say that, you know, one thing also, and I know the Revenue Bureau is here in the audience, so I think it's very important that as we implement this tax, we, you know, most people, well, people aren't used to paying a city income tax, period, in Portland. This is a new thing. And I am concerned about people who are on the edge of having tax liability, not being plunged into sort of the realm of debt collectors, credit collection agencies, going after them, you know, if for some reason they owe $35 or $70 or, you know, even $105. It is not in our interests, and it's certainly not in their interests to put black spots on their credit records and credit history for people who struggle as it is. I mean, they're not below the federal poverty index or federal poverty level, but they are still, many people, barely above that edge. And I don't want to see their credit histories or credit collection agencies going after them for, you know, 1 to 2 to 3 years of maybe unpaid liability. It's going to take some time for people to figure this out. And I know the Revenue Bureau will do a good job of working with people, all of our, those who have a taxpayer obligation. But I also want to, you know, want that message that I'm giving right now to be heeded also. This has to be administered with compassion. I am sure it will meet its revenue objectives and allow us to fund the teachers that we've made commitments to with the residual going to RAC. But we need to move forward with compassion on this. So thank you all. Aye.
Adams.
I'll wait till they're in. Aye. 1499.
Leonard. Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1500.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
This one recognizes that we have many school districts in Portland and is ensures that everyone gets their fair share. And I very much support continuing that process, that policy. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. And last one, 1501. Sorry.
It is a report.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second acceptance of the report. Can you please call the vote on the motion?
Leonard? Fritz?
I am very glad to see Portland's teachers represented on the committee, and two of my favorite Portland Public Schools teachers are here today, so thank you for coming in. Also glad to see young people represented by our PSU's representative. Having a Queen of Rosaria being the PSU representative is certainly an auspicious start to this committee, and I appreciate all the members who are here who took the time to come in today. It should be a fun committee to serve on, and I know that you will do due diligence. I also associate myself with Commissioner Saltzman's remarks and know that we will be compassionate moving forward as we seek to implement this tax. Thanks again to the voters of Portland for paying for it. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you to everyone who has agreed to serve, and I want to particularly thank my former colleagues and friends from the Oregon Cultural Trust, who are well represented on this body, and we look forward to working with you to make sure this is a success. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Just a few more thanks. I'd like to underscore thanks to Stan Pinkin for co-founding and sustaining ARPAC. It's amazing the positive impact that has had, and now the opportunity to look at candidates running for school boards, I think, is a new opportunity. I also wanted to underscore thanks to Gwen Sullivan, who's the president of the Portland Area Teachers, who approaches her job with a dedication to academic results in the classrooms and to support teachers that have a passion for that. And you recognized early on the importance of the arts education aspect of this, but also the other elements of this and how experiences with local arts organizations would be a key part of what's going to sort of move success towards the goals here. To Tommy Anderson Douglas, who is a more recent addition to the team and came on at just a great critical time, thank you. To before Carrie, there's Jennifer Yoakum, who just did a really great job as in the role that now Carrie Clark has. And Carrie, you are creative and relentless and totally enthusiastic about this from a